The Diet at Augsburg. The evangelical princes had been denied a hearing by King Ferdinand, but to quiet the dissensions which disturbed the empire, Charles V in the year following the protest of Spires convoked a diet at Augsburg. He announced his intention to preside in person. The Protestant leaders were summoned. The Elector of Saxony was urged by his counselors not to appear at the diet. Is it not risking everything to go and shut oneself up within the walls of a city with a powerful enemy? But others nobly declared, "Let the princes only comport themselves with courage, and God's cause is saved. God is faithful, he will not abandon us," said Luther. The Elector set out for Augsburg. Many went forward with gloomy countenance and troubled heart. But Luther, who accompanied them as far as Coburg, revived their faith by singing the hymn written on that journey, "A mighty fortress is our God." Many a heavy heart lightened at the sound of the inspiring strains. The Reformed princes had determined upon having a statement of their views, with the evidence from the Scriptures, to present before the Diet. The task of its preparation was committed to Luther, Melanchthon, and their associates. This confession was accepted by the Protestants, and they assembled to affix their names to the document. The Reformers were solicitous that their cause should not be confounded with political questions. As the Christian princes advanced to sign the confession, Melanchthon interposed, saying, "It is for the theologians and ministers to propose these things. Let us reserve for other matters the authority of the mighty ones of the earth." "God forbid," replied John of Saxony, "that you should exclude me. I am resolved to do what is right, without troubling myself about my crown. I desire to confess the Lord. My electoral hat and my ermine are not so precious to me as the cross of Jesus Christ." Said another of the princes as he took the pen, "If the honor of my Lord Jesus Christ requires it, I am ready to leave my goods and life behind. I would rather renounce my subjects and my states, rather quit the country of my father staff in hand," he continued, "than receive any other doctrine than that which is contained in this confession." The appointed time came. Charles V, surrounded by the electors and the princes, gave audience to the Protestant reformers. In that August assembly, the truths of the gospel were clearly set forth and the errors of the papal church pointed out. That day has been pronounced the greatest day of the Reformation, and one of the most glorious in the history of Christianity and of mankind. The monk of Wittenberg had stood alone at Worms. Now in his stead were the most powerful princes of the empire. "I am overjoyed," Luther wrote, "that I have lived until this hour, in which Christ has been publicly exalted by such illustrious confessors, and in so glorious an assembly." That which the emperor had forbidden to be preached from the pulpit was proclaimed from the palace. What many had regarded as unfit even for servants to listen to was heard with wonder by the masters and lords of the empire. Crowned princes were the preachers, and the sermon was the royal truth of God. Since the apostolic age, there has never been a greater work or a more magnificent confession. One of the principles most firmly maintained by Luther was that there should be no resort to secular power in support of the Reformation. He rejoiced that the gospel was confessed by princes of the empire, but when they proposed to unite in a defensive league, he declared that the doctrine of the gospel would be defended by God alone. All the politic precautions suggested were, in his view, attributable to unworthy fear and sinful mistrust. At a later date, referring to the league contemplated by the Reformed princes, Luther declared that the only weapon in this warfare should be the sword of the Spirit. He wrote to the Elector of Saxony, "We cannot on our conscience approve of the proposed alliance. The cross of Christ must be borne. Let your Highness be without fear. We shall do more by our prayers than all our enemies by their boastings." From the secret place of prayer came the power that shook the world in the Reformation. At Augsburg, Luther did not pass a day without devoting 3 hours at least to prayer. In the privacy of his chamber, he was heard to pour out his soul before God in words full of adoration, fear, and hope. To Melanchthon he wrote, "If the cause is unjust, abandon it. If the cause is just, why should we belie the promises of him who commands us to sleep without fear? The Protestant reformers had built on Christ. The gates of hell could not prevail against them.